Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, earlier we heard from Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong as he addressed Parliament, and Mr. Lee covered a number of issues from the government's response to COVID-19, social safety nets, the employment landscape, and changing political landscape here in Singapore. And to break down the key elements of Prime Minister's speech, we're joined today by Leonard Lim, Singapore Country Director at Vriends and Partners. Leonard, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Rachel.
So first, I've got to ask you, what stood out to you from PM's speech?
Yes, as you said earlier, I think it was a wide-ranging speech that tried to cover a lot of ground. But I think one key maybe that stood out for me was that PM tried to be as transparent as possible. From the very start, I think he was clear in where Singapore fell short in its COVID response. He was also transparent about Singapore. Despite local anxieties in the job market, Singapore still needs to continue relying on foreign investment, foreign labour, foreign talent. He was also transparent, I think, in how Singapore needs to evolve its social policy and taking care of older workers and the vulnerable in the community, but yet not drawing on the reserves, so keeping the country fiscally sustainable. So I think sketching out the issues and challenges for Singapore, but being as transparent as possible and trying to communicate it to the population at large.
I think that's a great summary. And let's break it down step by step, because PM spoke, as you mentioned, about our response to COVID-19 and how the government could have perhaps approached things differently. But then, you know, everything in hindsight could be approached differently. What are your thoughts on the comments that he made in terms of how we handled the current pandemic and the changes that we're likely to see on Singapore's horizon?
Yes, I think, as you say, hindsight is 2020. I think there were certain areas that Singapore could have done better. For instance, the policy on wearing masks was only implemented later on. Or, for instance, tackling the issues in the dorms slightly earlier to prevent the major outbreaks that we saw in April and May. But again, I think PM was quite clear, and I think the population by and large would accept that this is a very new virus. It's never been seen before. It's so infectious. A lot of it was not known. A lot of its nature was not known at the start in January and February. And I think the public health response evolved along the way as the scientific and medical community found out more. So having said that, I think a good comparison is how Singapore did compared with other countries. I think patient outcomes, the public health situation, I think if you look at the numbers in various categories, I think Singapore can hand on heart say that it has done decently, at least.
Now, Prime Minister Lee also spoke about social safety nets, and he highlighted that Singapore now spends thrice as much on social programs as it did 15 years ago. How has the need for social safety nets really changed and evolved in Singapore?
Yes, I think it's a topic that's been dominating policymakers' minds for the past 10 to 15 years. So there's certain pressures, I think, on our population, for example, the aging population, rising healthcare costs, economic disruption as well, and the rise of the gig economy, and whether people have enough savings for retirement. So all these, I think, putting pressure on the government to increase social spending, whether it's in healthcare, whether it's in social spending for the more vulnerable, for disabled workers, for instance. So I think going forward, I think we can expect that social spending will continue to increase over the next few years. The question, a very tough question then, is to ask how can these rises in spending be kept in check and sustainable over time?
And speaking of spending being kept in check and sustainable, Mr. Lee also touched on the importance of keeping programs fiscally sustainable. But it's a tough balance, though, isn't it, Leonard?
It's very tough. I mean, just take this COVID situation as an example. So with decreased spending, with lower tourism receipts, with less tourist arrivals, GST, for instance, will be less. The retail sector will be earning less. So essentially, there's less in the government coffers in terms of tax revenue. So it is a struggle. And on top of that, there is pressure to spend more on the government on these social programs. So what's going in is less. What's coming out needs to be more. That already tells you there is going to be a big challenge going forward. So again, I think there's hints that the government may raise some sort of, or may change the tax structure, actually, in the years ahead to fund these social programs. So beyond raising GST, I think there's a plan already to raise GST, but beyond that, perhaps raising income tax, perhaps implementing a wealth tax that's been talked about, I think, or even suggested in Parliament over the past couple of days. It'd be interesting to see whether these ideas or programs are implemented.
And what kind of timeline do you think we could see for something like that, given where we are at the moment with the pandemic?
certainly it's not an ideal time to raise taxes, economic recession, and with so much uncertainty in people's minds and retrenchments being so high. So certainly I think the government will want to wait for an economy to stabilize at least, and at least be on the upswing before floating or before implementing any such programs that will cause people to have a higher take-home salary, for instance. So GST is a good example. I think they've committed to delay the increase in GST because of COVID. So we can also expect that maybe if the income tax structure changes or there's a higher income tax that's introduced, it will certainly be after any recession.
We're speaking with Leonard Lim, Singapore Country Director at Vriends & Partners. Now, Leonard, Mr. Lee also spoke about reviewing foreign workers and work pass holders, and this is something that Minister Josephine Teo spoke about earlier this week as well. What are your thoughts about what's happening with this conversation? I mean, PM Lee also highlighted that Singapore must not give the wrong impression that it's closing up as it adjusts its work pass policies.
Yes, I think it's been a very emotional and issue the past few weeks because, and highlighted, I think, because of COVID, with retrenchments and a sizable proportion of our labour force being foreign. So citizens do feel aggrieved and anxious that perhaps a foreigner is taking away the job that I could do or my child could do. So I think Minister Josephine Teo, as well as PM, think sensing there is a need to address this issue. And they have come out to address that issue. And I think last week there was a tightening of the employment pass and S-pass salary criteria. So again, I think it's a very tough balance to strike. Certainly Singapore cannot close the door on foreign talent and foreign investment overnight just because of the recession. We are a country that has thrived always on being open and being attractive to the rest of the world. But again, citizens' desires and anxieties and concerns do have to be addressed. And I think PMN, Manpower Minister Josephine Teo, tried to, as much as they could, to strike that balance in allaying citizens' concerns, saying that the government will take care or serve Singaporeans' interests, but yet at the same time, the government cannot close the door completely and send the wrong message to foreign MNCs that Singapore has become insular and turning inwards.
That's right. And Mr. Lee also highlighted that some Fortune 500 companies are actually considering moving their regional HQs to Singapore because of political uncertainties elsewhere. And, you know, key financial institutions also want to grow their operations here. So there's a silver lining there.
Yeah, I think even in a time of economic uncertainty, there are certainly bright spots for Singapore. I think it goes to show that Singapore is still an attractive destination for foreign MNCs because of the political stability, the social stability, the law and order situation. So I think, it's imperative, as PM says, that Singapore continues to remain open. But yet, at the same time, one can sympathize, though, with the man in the street who perhaps is feeling the crunch, whose job may be on the line. So it's really a tough balance now to strike for the policymakers and for the government.
And the last topic that Mr. Lee spoke about in his speech was the changing political landscape here in Singapore. Obviously, we've just had the general election, and he highlighted that it's good for Singapore to have adequate number of opposition MPs, but also key to ensure disagreement does not lead to polarisation or paralysis.
Yes, I think it's a good time for him to come out and sketch out the way forward for the political landscape. I think we had a historic general election last month, or 2 months ago, so I'm sorry. But again, with a greater opposition presence in parliament, then there's always the potential for division or polarization, as has happened in many other countries. I think that's the great fear among the PAP now, that with greater diversity in parliament, perhaps there might be more division. But one hopes that does not happen. Seeing as to how parliament has been going on the past few days, I think the conduct of the Workers' Party, Progress Singapore Party, has been quite constructive. I think they've tried to float alternative proposals. They've asked well-developed questions. So one hopes that it will be a constructive and robust debate in Parliament moving forward. And that, again, can only lead to better policy outcomes for Singaporeans.
Well, Leonard, thank you so much for your time and your insights so quickly after the speech. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Rachel.
We've been speaking with Leonard Lim, Singapore Country Director at Vriends & Partners, here on Prime Time on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.